This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 26th of October, 1953. The title of this lecture is Time, Assumption, Facsimiles, Overt Acts, Deads. This tape is 58 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
All right, continuing this October 26th afternoon talk. And discussing this now, you see, we have this factor, that if all the facsimiles get jammed in this fashion, in this file, and this is the command filter, if a preclear is off on time, he will use a last year's or last decade facsimile for a present time command filter, because that is what is jammed in this pattern of energy. None of this pattern would stay in restimulation if the preclear were perfectly clean on the subject of time. No facsimile would get in the Thetan's road if the Thetan ably handled time. The only difficulty which a Thetan experiences as he exteriorizes is the scenery isn't the scenery. If he gets that into that difficulty, the scenery isn't the scenery, all he has is too much significance on the scenery. But what is this significance, basically? This significance is that he has his time factors shuttled. That's all. His time is off. His competence depends utterly on being able to observe and estimate by observation the distance a particle must travel and the speed of its travel. And that is competence. So that if his time factor is off, you have the baseball player who just is a wonderful pitcher, except he never could throw a slow curve. His time is off on the subject of slow curves. You have a football player who always tackles a second too late. Maybe it's only a tenth of a second too late. But he does it consistently. His time is off. His time is off on any athlete, somewhere. And that will be the area of his non-observation. That will also be the area of his observation, where his observation itself is aberrated, the command direction line twisted by a thinking machine or facsimile. You see that? Now, aberration means non-straight line. Very apt word. So you get a straight line as meaning a sane action. So you get people out and all the parallels in the scenery are off. That's just because their observation is first passing through a thinking machine. Lots of ways to do this. You just start blowing up thinking machines. Silly. Remedy, but it's a workable one, because he knows he has these thinking machines. But the knowledge itself is covered because the Thetan can't think. Well, think of that. All by himself, without a single energy deposit around, without a single incoming wave, and with nothing but himself in space of his own creation, that's all. He would merely experience happiness. Until he put out a beam that bounced off something and introduced that enough randomity, he wouldn't think of a thing. And he'd only start thinking, as we call figuring, by the time he had run forms into forms into forms into forms and energy deposits into energy deposits into energy deposits. So he was damn confused. He didn't know if he was coming or going. And then he'd have to think everything out. Now, the way out of this is, look, if you don't believe this, you can put a preclear down and just have him start looking at his own energy deposits. The second he starts looking, they melt. You just say, look at the easiest thing in the room for you to look at. Always take a real good look at it. Now let's look through it. Well, I'll just keep right on looking. Let's look some more. You can work a person this way to a point where the messed walls start to dissolve as far as he's concerned. Fascinating experience, by the way. You get a pre-clear off to a point where his mess vision is registering radar. See, it isn't registering reflected rays. You can actually, every once in a while, get some auditor who does it. Great pride or great alarm, one way or the other. He says, you know, I processed this pre-clear, and I had him looking at black spots and white spots and green spots and things like that, and all of a sudden there's no wall. And I had worked with him another 10 or 15 minutes to get a wall up there. Or it only went off for a couple of minutes. It sure did scare him. He's never very unhappy about this, the auditor isn't, because the fact of the matter is that it's quite a trick seeing that wall. The only thing that can see that wall is the stuff the wall's built out of, which is to say electrons. An electron is just a heavy wave. It's quite a trick feeling that wall. The only thing that can feel that wall is a block of electrons. Same wave. That's all it can feel it. So that a preclear, agreeing with the mass universe, is turning all of his wavelengths into the wavelength of the electron. Electron, the electron. Oh, I'm much better now with the electron. Yes, I can see at the wavelength of the electron. Much better now. Oh, I can see it much, much better now. Let's see now. I just got through studying nuclear physics. Yes, much, much, much better now. Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, we can look straight at the electron. And I was down to the oculist the other day there, and he said he'd have to boost these glasses out to a half an inch thick. And but I've been able to figure now with the slide rule, and I've been able to figure this and figure that and so forth, and we're really getting the wavelength of the electron now. And we can actually go into the front part of a book on stimulus response mechanism and fill it full of 8 pages or 8 chapters full of mathematics before we ever get in to saying that an electron exists. And here we are into the band of the electron, and we're in there very perfectly. I'm not describing Norbert Wiener. I said I'd never use his name in connection with Dianetics Scientology, and so I never do. It's too bad. He contributed quite a bit. I never read the book, but I'm sure he did. This boy would be a prize to you. You would just fall upon him with gleeful hands, because, my golly, he has a terrible time. He has these thick glasses, and he walks around with his nose way up in the air so that he can kind of see under this terribly thick band of blackness he's wearing. He's having a rough time, but boy, does he know electrons. You get the idea how somebody keys in with this universe. All right, let's take resistance. People become that which they fight. Good. That's fine. Let's figure out how this is. Now, supposing a fellow started to fight ultraviolet. Normally, there is where your theta has progressed to. He's begun to fight ultraviolet. He doesn't like ultraviolet anymore. It'll show him up because it's closer to easy wavelengths otherwise. Therefore, certain areas in pawn and so forth, use ultraviolet light. You can actually take a picture of a theta with ultraviolet light if you want to fool around with the photography sometime, infrared film. All right. Seeing is matching wavelength. That's all. And if you keep insisting on seeing messed and nothing but messed forever and aye, all you do is match wavelength. Well, unfortunately, most of the cases you run into have sunk below the ability to see messed. And that's why holding on to the two back corners of the room, I always put 5 or 6 rooms around. Lots of nothing. By the way, making anchor points out of nothing is very adventurous. I had somebody find that out this morning. We have rooms then becoming visible, and the PC getting into better shape. He's coming up to a point again where he can match electrons. That's really glorious. I mean, the guy is. But gee whiz, don't think he should stop at the 6th dynamic. Now, why is it that people go downscale suddenly? They just match something which they're going to fight. They'll go downscale unless they have themselves the ability to reoriginate admiration particles. Because admiration is actually a long line of looking. And it's a special type of lookingness. And if they can admire a fight, they'll never get in trouble with a thing. But things will sure get in trouble with them. Have you ever watched anybody go into a fight with a gleeful smile upon his face? Did you ever know a dog that would say, gee, a fight? Gosh. Dogs for miles around just take one look at him and ki-yi and disappear. He doesn't get mad. What is anger? If you got mad at an electron, it merely means this. You have locked equal wavelengths with electrons. If you got mad at Papa, you have locked equal wavelengths with the messed body of Papa. So therefore, people, getting mad at people, you see, has the interesting effect of pushing you right down into the messed universe. And so people begin to think that this would be really terrible to fight with Thetans if it's so rough fighting with people. No, fight all you want with Thetans. Go around and have a gleeful time blowing up everything. But by golly, don't start fighting messed bodies in the messed universe and fight without ever a smile about it. You get real mad, see. It's what you want to do. You want to get mad. You call this universe a love-hate universe. But its love and its hate go on very, very debate. Its love, by the way, is like glue. It's real gluey. It's a sort of an apathetic surrender. That's love, as it's generally understood and sung about over the radio. Love somebody who's insane and can't eat. And you get hate, and it's just blocking energy wavelength with. So, it all becomes elementary. If you really want to start dreaming up processes, it'd be processes which got the people to shift wavelength. Now, if you really wanted to start dreaming up processes that would handle energy and so forth, and of course these are probably very lengthy processes and so forth, but you would go into that field. You'd do it something like this. You'd say, all right, we're locking wavelength and energy on the thing. All right, now I'll show you how this is done. Let's all get real mad at music. Get the idea of being awful mad at music. Now let's get the idea of how wonderful music is. What happened as you did that?
Moved in.
All right, let's get mad at music again. I always think it's wonderful. What happened to you?
Better to get mad at the music than with being a musical.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute. Now let's get music being real mad at us. Now get it being very fond of us. Now what happened if that you did that? Theoretically, you would have plowed out the bang bang that you had mad at you there for a moment, would have suddenly hit you just before the sweet music did.
Well, you get the idea that it's laughing at you, and then it starts being sweet to you.
Yeah, all right. You've got all these manifestations. But now, let's get mad at piccolo music. Flute music. Now, let's just love bass drums. See what happens? You do this?
I'm not angry at the piccolo and flute music. They turned on. Like bass drums, it turns off like that.
The bass drums turned on.
Yeah. It disappeared.
I got mad at the flute music, and when I started liking the bass drum music, the flute music took off.
Mm-hmm.
Left.
Sure. If you worked with this for a while, you would find out there are various comparable waves. But theoretically, there is a method of processing a pre-clear by which you would turn on up here ultraviolet light. Front of the room, have a pre-clear emote anger at the lamp. all in darkness except the ultraviolet light. And he would probably blow free. Listen to that. Then you would get him to get above the ultraviolet light and blow. Well, how does this thing change wavelength? People ask me that every once in a while. He just says he does. It's the easiest thing in the world. It's idiotically simple. Just I have a higher wavelength than that. Everything is going flowing on by. tell yourself right now, I have a higher wavelength than mess sound. I have a higher wavelength than infrared. I have a higher wavelength than any messed energy. If you just did this repeatedly, this would be a gunshot technique that would actually move everybody out of flows. The only reason anybody stays on a flow basis is he's packing this assumption around, really. He's trying to control a body and he's got the assumption in the robe. And the person step ones easily, they don't have the assumption in. If they don't, if they step one, step two, step three, step four, what about there? The assumption. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The assumption's in there. Overt act motivator basis. A lot of ways to handle this. You can waste babies and waste life and waste this and waste that. You can do a lot of things with this. But the assumption is a very simple mechanism. Quite normally, the person hits between lives there. He's only there about 15 minutes. It's pretty black. And he gets a lot of this and that thrown at him, wavelengths, which, of course, he fights. He picks them up. They have, quote, meaning, unquote, in them. And then he shifts through into a maternity ward or something of the sort. Is the next scene. If you run a preclear through birth and you didn't touch the assumption, you left the assumption to some degree in restimulation. And Satan will pick up a baby in a very certain and intricate pattern. It's a very remarkable pattern. It's a two-handed pickup with a couple of feet thrown in the bargain. And it's into the lower abdomen of the baby and across the front of the mouth, upper teeth, gums area of the baby. And when the assumption goes into real seriously, there is a consistent continual mouth somatic. And there's the top of the gum above the top upper row teeth, so forth. It gets into restimulation. The whole gum goes into restimulation. And the face and so forth will have various somatics that follow this pattern. It's real rough, and the Satan is trying so hard to hold on to the baby, and he doesn't realize how much he has to power there to hold on with. And boy, that's a real good solid one, but he sure has got hold of the baby. Now you ask somebody to step out of his head. Here's all this effort to hold on to a baby, which is immediately there, and he can't, he just says he can't undo this. Well, you start running this, and you find out that he won't take any responsibility for it. And there's your key in of responsibility on the case itself. And the reason why anybody in his family could do anything that, it should have struck somebody as odd that everybody will let almost anybody in the family do anything to him. They'll take the most guff off their father and their mother and so forth. Should have struck somebody odd, the command the fathers and mothers have over children. Completely aside from carrying him around and evaluating him, for instance, your bus driver doesn't evaluate for you just because he drives you to work every morning or something like that. I mean, it wouldn't be, you see. But Papa and Mama, one has done a deadly overt act. And I've had preclears turn this on. They suddenly flop out dead flat like a dog playing dead. And they suddenly say, well, they can do anything they want to me because, after all, I did steal the baby. The Satan can't support this level of overt act. It's all because he just stole it 100%. And by Q&A, he is now the baby, but he knows he's not the baby. And any person whose papa and mama have seemed to want to get rid of him has begun to believe that papa and mama know, and that all they're trying to get rid of is the demon and trying to keep their baby. And the demon, the Satan, is trying to run away with the baby in this circumstance. If you have a history of somebody who tried consistently to run away, you probably also have an occluded case.
Basic on this for full track.
What's basic on it? Oh, there's an earlier one than an assumption. There's several trick types of traps. Wonderful things. There's one whereby a person goes through a sort of a wishbone arrangement. And he no more gets through the wishbone arrangement and starts to grab onto something, then a magnetic field turns on and holds him suspended in that position. So he gets these enormously complex patterns of energy about holding on to posts, traps, and so forth. And all this just goes right on down the line. It's just a theta trap. And the more the Thetan thinks about getting loose, the heavier the deposit becomes. And I handled an assumption here for you one day, give you some idea. I didn't handle this thing all the way out the window, but it was handled just about the way you would handle any assumption. You'd have the Thetan holding the baby up, and then you'd have the baby holding the Thetan up, and then you'd have babies stomping on Thetans, and papas and mamas killing Thetans and pulling them off of babies, and you just go in for lots of motivator, and then you figure out, finally get the guy to figure out so he could be absolutely sure that it was all the baby's fault, and well, he didn't run that day, but it's a motivator action. This demon, this horrible thing, this thing, has done something that nobody else in the whole universe has ever done. He's stolen a baby. You ask me what was basic on this, I might as well go for broke on this thing as long as we're talking about it. You shouldn't know this stuff and understand this. The overt act, originally on the line, is the Thetan's first contact with a body. And if you look for the Thetan's first contact actually with a body, you will find that the body was told, or he heard from another Thetan, he heard someplace or another, or he actually experienced the fact for himself, that there was an enormous amount of sensation to be found in a body. And he went and tested it out. And he felt terribly degraded when he did. The reason he felt degraded when he did was because he started pulling the body to pieces. And he picked up the sensation somehow, some way. And it's nipping and blanketing, particularly blanketings, as you find in What to Audit, are basic on it. And there is one type of body which the Thetan has blanketed more than any other type of body, and this will be the type of body which he's most defensive of. And when he is unlucky enough to get a similar body to the first one he blanketed, he's in for a very messy life. He might as well jump off a bridge and go all over again, or get processed. But if you were to locate in the assumption, if you were to do a God workmanlike job of this, you would handle in creative processing form the whole chain of blanketings and so on. It's quite an extensive proposition. You'll find, for instance, that a girl who is very unhappy about being a girl has actually committed her first blanketing on a boy, and has thereafter been trying to protect boys from girls. You got that? Now, there's all sorts of things on this, but the Thetan, after he's done this overt act of blanketing a few times to get the sensation out of a body, gets sort of a sense of feeling he has to protect the body, because there's a tremendous surge. There's an upward surge of, remember the old emotional curves, running emotional curves on people? Well, you can trot that old tool out when you're running anything like a blanketing. Just run emotional curves which go from curiosity, expectation, high sexual desire, which plunges off into an utter apathy and degradation. And that is the curve of an assumption. Because immediately after the orgasm or the discharge of admiration on the part of the body, there was a tremendous reduction of tone. Tremendous reduction of tone. And it's a phenomenal drop. Do you know that the human body's temperature rises about it rises about 2 degrees on an orgasm? Hardly anybody was ever scientific enough to work out this fact, but I decided to put it to test one day and did, and found out that was the case. The temperature shoots up that high on an orgasm ejaculation. Well, good God, there isn't anything that will shoot the temperature up. I mean, a guy can go out here and run around the block, and he can run into cars and do all sorts of things. You put a thermometer in his mouth immediately afterwards, and it's got 98.6. but not right after an orgasm. His temperature goes up a couple of degrees and then dives off. So it's quite a wham. Your Thetan got caught in this. And very often, the guy gets all these blanketings into re-stimulation. One of the main things wrong with a fight is that so damn many blanketings in re-stimulation that he can't see straight. And these got keyed in by sexual overt acts and motivators. Of course, people have blanketed him while he was a body. But the blanketing is always a dead and never a motivator overt sequence, which makes it deadly. He goes on practically through to the end of the track trying to get a sufficient and adequate motivator to account for his first dead. And he'll never make it. Can't. Now, the fact that his parents don't like him is enough of an accusation so that he immediately knows how guilty he is and he reacts like hell. Then what his parents did to him was horrible and so forth. Well, maybe it was. But the point is that if he could only have gotten them to do a little more, he feels, he would be paid off. That's what his reaction is on the line. But don't think there's too much deep significance to this. There isn't. It's just deposits of energy. The assumption goes into re-stimulation. Then he tries hard to achieve some sexual stimulation out of the body afterwards, and he starts draining the GEs and his own engram bank in a society as puritanical as this for sexual satisfaction. And here's the second dynamic keying in and nailing the guy down. You run a pre-clear through a few of these blanketings, and it's strictly wee. It's really charged stuff. But what you're trying to do is work out this. Well, you've been working out a creative project. What's a blanketing like? Thetan just dropped down over the body, that's all. Now, very often, two Thetans got together and got a couple of bodies and pushed them together. Or one Thetan got a hold of a couple of bodies and smashed them together. Well, of course, the Thetan didn't measure what his energy output was or what he was doing to these bodies, and he didn't care what happened afterwards, and boy, he really messed them up. But good. They nearly always ended in death for the principles, the bodies concerned. Nearly always. So it's a heavy overt act line. And if the assumption is really keyed in, but good, really keyed in, an auditor really has no other choice on the matter outside of using just those types of present-time processes and mock-ups in general, just the shotgun techniques. They'll be lengthy in this case. He really has no other choice but to track back this line and find out what the hell this overt act was against, because it's a dead, and clean it up by mocking up many times the same thing happening to the Thetan as a Thetan. Of course, it never could happen to the Thetan. But make it work somehow or another, because he can't have the thing squared around. Or just make him remember one on the track that happened to him while he was a body before he saw his first body. Anything like that.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
We've been talking about dead X sequences on blanketings and assumption here for a long time, over a year, in Scientology, and directly connected with theta clearing. And at the end of a year, it is still quite apparent that this is the line of no responsibility which a Thetan has elected to take. It runs straight back to the earliest blanketings of the case, and where you have your Thetan going into big dives and swoops and around, and not able to take much responsibility, his case remaining blacker in the ace of spades, in spite of what you do to him, you're just fooling around with some early blanketing that has been keyed in like mad with some present life situation having to do with his own or the opposite sex. Now, there is about the end of it. And one of these cases, every once in a while, gets pretty rough, and it hangs fire and doesn't resolve fast. I mean, somebody doesn't exteriorize readily, so forth. If you have any trouble running SOP 8, you remember that the early SOPs, when they got down to that level, ran blanketings. Dead X's on blanketings is SOP 1. Step 5, dead X's on blanketings. Period. Nothing has occurred to change the state of cases. A lot of remedies have appeared for changing cases, however. You wouldn't run those things today on the basis of running out dead debt X's. You'd run them with creative processing, and you'd run them in such a way as to pay back the Thetan enough motivators of the exact kind necessary for him to get around never having had that motivator in the first place. It was a dead. You just feed him that. You feed him enough of him, his sense of responsibility and power would come back up. He actually won't let himself come back up the line because he doesn't deserve it. It's computational to a large degree as far as he is concerned. There's that first postulate sitting in there. My God, I shouldn't have done it. I am disgraced. I have had to do with the body. Why would I do such a thing? So forth. He's just completely outraged by himself and everything else. But where did he get all this? He just got this from the defense mechanism of the body itself. If you were to go sailing down the street right this moment as a Thetan and pick up some nice-looking guy or girl and give him a good hard nip, that same emotion would be yours. Unless you knew how to disconnect. Or unless you understood that emotion so well and could mock it up so plentifully that its newness and novelness no longer whetted your appetite, because that degradation, which you now know as degradation, is educatedly degradation. You've been told that this is degradation. You believe that you should feel guilty. It never bothered you until after the fact. You've done wrong. You became convinced that you had done wrong. It was just early on the track. Hui. Now I'm degraded. Let's all be degraded. Okay, let's all be degraded. All right, let's all explode now. You can just see a bunch of things playing a game. But the body is so condensed as to looking that when a Thetan and that much energy matches its wavelength and hits it, that lookingness starts to uncondense. And of course, its emotion of uncondensing is degradation. Why? It's because the guy isn't looking at that energy. Now, the best remedy for this sort of situation, I will be very frank with you, the best remedy for the case that hangs fire now with these techniques, the best remedy does not have to do with running debts and debt X's. It has to do with self-analysis. The case hangs fire after so many hours of processing. I take that case with an nap of the neck and I set them down and I make them grind out self-analysis so they know they can have their own anchor points anyhow, which tells them where they are. And after that, I make them handle time till they get real expert in the handling of time and so on, and start plotting things out. Turn on preferably a lot of whole track memory one way or the other, and then work them out of it. Or with that technique, dead X's, if I want to be a short term, let's take a guess at it. Let's try and see whether or not we can plow through this thing and simply take an E-meter, find the dead X sequence, take a complete chance on whether or not this guy's going to get sick or whether or not I'm going to have to process him 10 hours or something of the sort. Just let all that go to hell. See? And just plow in there madly and start making him cap and blanket his own body, until he's just convinced that he has really been blanketed enough. Make him blanket his own body and then run the emotional curve. Blanket his body and run the emotional curve. Blanket his body and run the emotional curve. Grim. The reason it's grim is because the body itself starts to come to pieces. But once in a while, he'll just find his particular dead X, something like that, he all of a sudden feels better. And feeling better on the line will then be able to exteriorize. But believe me, that is not the best technique. That's not the best technique because it doesn't have uniform success in the hands of auditors. And sometimes the case isn't much affected by it or anything. They just don't seem to be able to do anything about it. In that case, you just offer them a self-analysis. The very, very, very best technique for doing something like this is for 5 or 6 Thetans to stand around and give a yank. That's the very best technique on such a case. Now you get recurrent revulsions from a Thetan hanging around the body. You'll all of a sudden feel a tremendous amount of revulsion for his body. You mustn't overlook this as a point in the case, because it's going to happen. It's looking uncondensing. He gets to handling the body with beams. and the body starts to uncondense, just as nice as you please. And its uncondensing follows through with exactly the same routine as the first blanketing. These beams and energies of the body itself start to stretch out, and you get this emotion of degradation following through. If you want to handle this body, actually a good operating thing would not handle his body with beams. And he really wouldn't come any place near. I came near this body not too long ago, and it was a very remarkable experience. The first part of last week and so forth, I was going around here. I didn't know whether I'd need a wheelchair or not. As I blew the whole back control panel as far as the body was concerned. Pretty well patched up. There's a few tacks still showing. But I just reached too close to the body, too quick, with a beam. Phaetons will use beams. They're so pretty. You shoot a great big golden streamer out someplace and wrap it around something a couple of times. It looks very pretty. It's nice. Stretch it and condense it a few times. Skip rope with it once in a while. Do something like that. Beams are not much good for anything. Because you're right into green with the messed universe. Everything in this universe is handled by beams and motion. Okay. Now I want to define for you validation once more. I'll evaluate for you in order to define invalidation. Invalidation is the process of rendering the thetan uncertain of anchor points. Invalidation is making a thetan uncertain of his anchor points. This can be done by showing him that they are destructible by hitting them, knocking them flat, scrunching them, squashing them. As in the case of a lost ally dies, it's an invalidation of an anchor point. Something happened to it. He certainly went someplace, but he wasn't quite sure where. And an invalidation of a subject which is making somebody well is, again, merely the vanishing of an anchor point. And the person who can't get anchor points has been made too uncertain of his own worthiness to have anchor points, and so he has been invalidated. Now, what about people who have had very good success in your hands as an auditor and have come back to you in a month or so, and they're still in pretty good shape, but they're very shaky about a lot of things, and they're not quite so sure. People have invalidated the subject to them. The best remedy, and they've invalidated you as an auditor, therefore, they invalidated what you know and your skill. So the only thing that you have them do is simply mock you up and mock up the subject on a gradient scale until they're absolutely certain they have two anchor points out there, then four, then eight. In other words, can make space with the subject again. What do you mean by the subject? Well, it's just any kind of an anchor point which they can represent symbolically the subject which made them well. Now, a person who's been rendered very insecure in of psychology by psychology, of course, has lost an anchor point. One of the best ways you can handle it is completely rehabilitate psychology and then change it into what you're doing for them. The rehabilitation and invalidation of your auditing. The fellow goes home. He was in perfectly good condition when he left the house. You see him the next day. He's in terrible condition. What happened to him? His wife said that he was always thinking he had something happen to him that was good and that things would be better, but he knew that they never were, or something like that. Or she knew personally that you, as an auditor, had actually been sleeping with some of your pre-clears. Or that you, as an auditor's wife, had a very immoral and a hideous background as a sorceress or a witchcraft doctor or something. Or that she knew in school and you had always failed or something weird. Or that the subject was all right, but Hubbard was all wrong. He was actually terribly immoral and unable. And actually, we didn't object to the subject. We objected to Hubbard. Something like that. This is goddamnedest. The damnedest squirrel cage anybody ever got into. I mean, it's lovely. Well, this one goes round and round. That's all just invalidation. That's an effort to shake somebody's anchor points up and make them disappear. Simple. I'm not talking about this because it comes anywhere close to me, and it's showing you what happens to an anchor point. Now, somebody who's been run some space opera and has been shaken up on space opera, just have him put a few spaceships out for anchor points until he's sure he's got some out there and you feel better right away. But he told him that was Buck Rogers. Now, the fellow who has been made insecure by a planet has become affected, the effect of the planet, finally. How would you rehabilitate somebody around the clock about a town You just walk up the town 8 times. Give him 8 anchor points so that he can make space for that town. How about a whole planet? Well, you can rehabilitate Earth. That's the nearest planet. Let's just put it up there 8 times. That's all. Let's get it there real good, real stable, and so it lasts. That's all it's for. And that's a rehabilitation of invalidation, one of the tougher problems an auditor faces. Now, you'll find that in every pre-clears case, there's one person at least that they cannot mock up. Again, we're going into the auditor's skill in detecting what is wrong with the case. You can detect what's wrong with the case and do a patch-up on the case mighty quick. As this morning, I just did a little patch-up on something that was sitting right up in the open, but there was no necromancy or guesswork that was doing it. We just went into it on a gradient scale. We just found out approximately what it was, and then the preacher said what it was, and there it went, and we at least took some of the charge off it. All right. An auditor's skill in doing this is merely keeping his eyes open, following through. Well, there's a lot of clues that come up this way. What are these clues? All of a sudden, the preacher starts telling you he can't see something. Or he tells you he goes up this line, and there's nothing there. Now, we start taking lines off of the body, and we run the preacher back and have him look at the source of the line. All right, he finds the source of the line. He's exteriorized. We find the source of this line and make him duplicate it, and then duplicate it some more, and then duplicate it some more, and then blow up a duplicate, and then blow up more duplicates, and then blow up the whole thing, and then getting real good at this, and then the whole line's liable to explode. He's liable to have a hell of an electronic shock back into the body when he does this one time. But then keep him going until all of a sudden he tells you he can't find anything on an end of a line. You're in the hot work, fella. You just have a little hot energy and have him mock up nothing for a while. And the first thing you know, well, we've got that end of that line. You say there's nothing there. It's just coming out of nothing. Okay, mock up 2 more nothings. Mock up another nothing. Mock up another nothing. Sometimes something will appear there, but normally that isn't what happens. You get a kick back into the body, and the next thing you know, the body, which has been fighting like mad not to be in this facsimile, is all wrapped up in it, and the preacher's taking a look at it. That's all there is to it. You just start doubling it up and blowing it up, and any time you can find bringing apart a couple of anchor points or putting a couple of anchor points together into it, do it. Put them together and blow them up. Pull them apart and implode them. There's any way you can handle 2 points in relationship to each other. And more darn mysterious stuff will turn up on a case and blow out, and every other darn thing will happen. Totally mechanical procedure. One of these mechanical procedures is that he finds nothing at the end of the line. You have to change your wavelength on, take a look at the lines in your body. All right, you can find that end line. We blow that up. We got that line off. We got this line off. And all of a sudden, you go up this line. That's funny. He says there's nothing there. Hell, there isn't something there. That's something he can't look at, and lines don't end in nothing, believe me. All right, that's one symptom. Here's another one, much closer to home. There's always somebody on a case the PC can't mock up. Find out who it is. Then mock them up by mocking a piece of sand that they looked at 1,000 years before or something. Then mark up a footprint of the person, then this of the person, and that of the person. Gradient scale, build the person until the fellow can look directly at the person he couldn't mock up before. Now he can mock up this person. Good. Now having put up that person about 6-8 times his anchor points, you find out that this person either invalidated him or herself completely, or was invalidated completely by somebody else, or both. And he lost an anchor point. Now, the case that tells you, all right, my life was all right until MX-2377-N, my last girlfriend left, used the girl as an anchor point. She was an anchor point in his life. And all of a sudden he found out she was no good and wouldn't do anything for him and so on. He's terrific invalidation, you see, and then she up and left him. Anchor point gone. Everything gone to hell. Left him with no space. Finally, because his concentration was so solidly upon this girl, whether she was good or bad, good for him, bad for him, that doesn't matter, just concentration heavy on her, see? All of a sudden, Pam, she hasn't got him anymore. He hasn't got her anymore. We just build her up until he can put 8 of her around and make clear, concise space with her. Any visio he gets of this person, this girl, will be one figure in a fixed position. Well, let's just bust this up until we can make this figure drill and put it up 8 times and make space on it. All right, Same way for a girl. She's lost a man ever since, has been kind of emotional about life. She's just fixed there with no space because she's missing one particular anchor point. The anchor points in that fashion are the parents, the grandparents, the childhood home, the entire neighborhood in which the person was raised and from which he has been transplanted, and the love affairs and marital partners. And that includes practically the whole gamut of such anchor points. If you rehabilitated a person, gradient scale, until you could mock up clearly and put in eight spaces around him, each one of those things you'd have clear. It's not a terribly long job. It's an entirely new approach to you, perhaps, but it's inherent in self-analysis. He just mocks up enough anchor points to reach thoroughly. But in this case, it's a lower scale process than the highly differentiative mock-ups he gets out of self-analysis. You see, because he's agreeing with the mesh universe. He's letting it tell him where he is. So it's a junior process to random mock-ups. But if you want a fast relief on a case, find out where his emotion shut off, this where it shut off, who it was, mock this person up in a gradient scale by first mocking other people up and so forth, and then gradually you can move in on this person and get this person there for eight anchor points, his emotion will turn on again. Okay, now, if you get a certainty of mock-up in any field, on any subject, for God's sakes, know that you've got your case entrance on a heavily occluded case, and you've got major case repair well in progress on a case that's exteriorized. He can be completely certain of his mock-ups, completely certain of all our behaviors. When he's completely certain about them, he can put them in space, and they stay there, they don't stay there, they go into yesterday or tomorrow, the way he tells them to, and so forth, when he's way out in space. And he can blow them up and create them and implode them and move them around, and when he traces up lines, he always finds things at the end of it, and he can look at anything he wants to look at anywhere around the body or around any place. You needn't worry about him anymore. Well, he's got to do all those things. So remember what he's trying to do. We're trying to get him so that he can mock up anything. He can unmock anything. He can use anything for an anchor point. He can see any kind of a corridor line he desires to, or not see it if he doesn't want to. He can trace down and find the ends of anything on anybody. Your boy's in good shape. Now, there are many cases here right at this moment that are right up toward that level. That's why I'm saying to you that we've got to start really polishing our fingernails on some of these cases, because there's just no sense in any case hanging fire. There's no sense in a case being even vaguely static. A case would only be vaguely static if we didn't quite understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to get this fellow certain at will of anything. That's what we're trying to do. Certain at will, at his will of anything. So he can use anything for anchor points. So he can be anywhere and look at anything. Be in anything is another way to do it. You get him chasing around and able to do all these things, and he's in beautiful condition, believe me. And also, there's a lot of things that he has to be able to do. If you want him as drills, all lead more or less the same thing. Handling the body well exteriorized, making the body do various things without a hitch. That's one way. But these are more or less modus operandi than anything else. He also should be able to take hold, if we were really going to college on this, right? We would be... have the pre-clear and the auditor would be sitting there patiently at the window, looking out the window. And the auditor would suddenly say, "All right, now you see that dog down there? All right, make him walk. Make him turn around." And here we go. I mean, but that would take quite a bit of coaxing on the part of the auditor and a little bit of gradient scale work, because the person is very unsure of himself. When he starts in to handle something that somebody else can see. You get what this invalidation is. Your Satan has the idea that if he puts up a mock-up and somebody else sees it, the other guy would steal it, at least, or destroy it, something of the sort. So he mustn't put up a thing. And the computation, there's a button behind that, by the way, is every time I put up anything beautiful, it's spoiled. And that's sitting up back to the other case. Every time I put up something beautiful, it's spoiled. Women have a better chance of outriding this than men do, because men can't even wear a pretty coat in this society. It's possible. Now, aesthetics. You should be able to turn on aesthetics. But a fellow is so leery of aesthetics, he's leery of aesthetics like he's leery of admiration. You know, at any moment, he's liable to turn on enough admiration to just blow everything to hell and gone. He actually find himself restraining himself to keep himself from admiring a wall or something. Well, don't worry. He'll never blow that wall with admiration. It's below the wavelength. And it's like trying to stretch both ends of the spectrum and making them meet in the same spot or something. That's like, it just doesn't do it. Admiration for mess? Oh, yak, 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 yak. Admiration for its aesthetic form. Yes. But admiration to a rock for having the molecular pattern of a rock. Nah. Now, aesthetics are similarly dynamite. We'll go into that a little bit later, and we'll run some experiments on aesthetics and so forth, but they're similarly dynamite. You put aesthetics around, you put up an aesthetic mock-up, for instance, and then put up another mock-up, and let the aesthetic mock-up come in confluence with the second mock-up, and gee, it blows up pretty. Aesthetics are quite dangerous. By the way, if things go in the wrong direction when you start to make things unaesthetic, actually the most dangerous thing you can do is be tremendously aesthetic. But it's the case, same case as in force. You know, the only thing wrong with force is when you tried to use it, you didn't use enough of it. When you kicked him down and he was lying on the ground, you said, now that'll teach him, and in the future I won't have to worry about him, and the next day he got a hold of the knife and shoved it in your back. That is not enough use of force. You should have stove in his skull when he was lying on the ground. You see that? So that force always fails by falling too short. Now the thetan is always trying to cut his own force short enough so that he can participate in the game without stopping the whole game. He doesn't want to stop the game, you see. So he gets down to the point where, as the hero, he unbuckles his guns before he beats up the villain. See, this is real silly. I mean, the Thetan can always win. All he has to do is pull a beam out of his hip pocket and drive it through somebody else's skull and explode the pineal gland or something. All you've got to do is touch somebody's pineal gland, and you never saw such utter agony in your life. This will come over that body. I mean, it'll just lie there and writhe and writhe and writhe. Talk about generating horsepower to make a beam. Oh, not so. You don't have generating horsepower. You just put a beam on a pineal gland, and that body's practically finished. Well, Thetan knows this, so he doesn't use energy around the body very well. But if Thetan doesn't want to put up a mock-up that somebody else can see, so one of the most damaging things you can do to a preclear is to say, yes, I see your mock-ups. Okay. What's invalidation? That's right. Demonstrating an insecurity, the finer definition, the demonstrating an insecurity of anchor points.
Removing right? them from his control.
That's another one.
Sentencing them for him.
That's a real good one. That's fine. Establishing them for him and then assuring them they aren't his. That's the necessary part of the operation. The parents do that all the time. They say, Johnny, here's a pair of shoes. You like that pair of shoes, Johnny? Now keep them polished. Johnny, why haven't you polished your shoes? Why haven't you polished your shoes? Well, Johnny can't figure this out. He said, well, gee, they're my shoes, but they aren't my shoes, but those are anchor points. They sure are anchor points, so the one thing he marks where the ground is, parents are always obsessed with shoes. I guarantee they're just obsessed with them. They give a kid shoes, and then they expect them to do this and do that and so forth. Clothes. Practically every preclear you run into, you'll find various anchor points which he's wearing. You just start running expanded gita while he's exteriorized. Just take what you see. Shoes, stockings, feet. You find they belong to a gym instructor someplace. And we just start taking him apart this way, and all of a sudden the guy starts to realize he's walking around in a complete unreality. Because he doesn't have any body. How can he possibly move out of it? It belongs to everybody. It doesn't belong to him. And you just start assaying the various things which he has, and he finds out he owns nothing. But instead of getting discouraged about this, he's coming on up tone scale. He's, ha-ha, what do I know? I don't own a thing. Wonderful. Now, the other operation which is done along with the anchor points is the insistence upon love at various levels of the scale. various low levels of the scale, you find love itself, which is a fairly high-level emotion, being utterly decayed, all but just put into a level of revulsion the like of which you never heard of, just as a bid to be parasitic. It's the same kind of love that the Spanish moss displays for the oak. And somebody, all the time down the track, somebody's always falling for this. And it's love, 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 love. Well, it's just a little general rule. It's normally, when it's a great deal talked about, and it's mentioned often, and it's mentioned in friendship, and it's talked about overtly and continually and so forth, just have the person shot because it doesn't exist. That's right, it just doesn't exist. Okay. Is there any questions about this as they come up? Why? You be sure and bring them up, or any difficulty you have along any of these lines, why bring them up.